Hey, welcome back to another amazing episode of the Good Advice Podcast. It's great to have you here today, tuning in to the actionable, practical things that can grow and scale your business. I'm your host, Blake Benz. We've been running this podcast for a while now, 400 episode plus deep. And we're going to be talking, you know, it's a spicy episode incoming. Anytime we talk about wages, pay, anything like that, you know, it's a bit of a spicy episode. But we're going to be getting into it today. And this latest report about wages stagnating in Great Britain. And what does it mean for you as someone either looking to start a business or someone who's managing people? We're going to be talking about it today. Before we dive in, though, we do have a word from one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the show. Before we get into that, though, don't forget you can also support the podcast on our Patreon, patreon.com/goodadvice, for as little as the price of a cup of coffee. We so appreciate our advertisers and the people who help keep this podcast going. Thank you. And before we get to our content, let's jump over to this quick ad. See you soon. Life is constantly moving quickly, and in fact, I find myself more and more wanting a pause button to capture some of those special memories with my family. That's why I love what the team at Duncan and Stone is doing. They've created high-quality keepsake journals for every stage of life. From people who are freshly engaged all the way to welcoming their first child, Duncan and Stone has a series of journals that are incredible for capturing some of those precious memories, and not just memories, with the stories and conversations that you want to have with your loved ones one day. Personally, I love the Dear Daughter journal because it captures all of the amazing memories that I want to be able to tell my daughter Maylee one day. The team at Duncan and Stone understands the value of keeping these memories close to home. That's why they've spared no expense in creating high-quality journals that are designed in-house because they know how precious these memories are. Check out DuncanandStone.com and see some of the journals that will walk you through every stage of life. They're easy to use and beautiful to display, and most importantly, they capture what matters. Again, go to DuncanandStone.com to find out more. All right, so let's do the same old song and dance we do for all episodes like this. A little bit of a disclaimer. This is the kind of conversation that gets the most feedback of any other topic that I talk about. We're going to be talking about wages today. We're going to be talking about pay. We're going to be talking about how much you should be paying your employees and your process for building a long-term sustainable brand. Before we get into that, though, a little bit of a disclaimer. I am not a political person. I have no political agenda. I do not care at all about how you vote, or really in general, I don't even really pay much attention to that kind of stuff anyway. I think that today's world is so highly politically inundated with almost every facet of our lives. Get on social media and you don't have to look far to see someone giving their hottest take, I guess. Me personally, I just don't really get into any of that stuff, and I live a much happier life because of that. So what I'll say is, talking today, we're going to dive into talking about some issues with pay in today's world. Some issues with pay and why I feel like some of the pay disparities that we're seeing is not an economic issue, but that it is a moral issue. I think we are easily witnessing one of the biggest crimes of greed and selfishness and what's in it for me isms, if I can call it that. Now, what I can tell you, if you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking, let's go ahead and say what this podcast is not. This podcast is not that you should feel guilty for making money as a business owner. This podcast is not that your employee should make 10 times more than you do. This podcast is not anything that is like levels of extremism Anything like that. You know, if you are listening and you are a boss who you pay a fair wage, you pay according to the outputs that you expect, and there's transparency about that, you can know this episode's not for you. You're likely doing a great job. This episode is all about the extremes. And I've had many episodes over the last 2 years, especially. Typically, I have a conversation about this. I would say before 2020, this kind of episode would pop up maybe once or twice a year, I think. Nowadays, I'm talking about it more and more because it is becoming the impetus for why people are leaving the corporate world and starting their own business. I literally just got a message the other day from someone who and it wasn't related to pay. At least they didn't mention it as much, but they were like, "Hey, I'm finally going out on my own. What advice do you have for me?" So people are starting businesses. People are jumping into the world of entrepreneurship. And for many of those people, they're doing it because they're tired of not being in control of their financial future. And that's really the message today. That's really what's going to be the point of today's episode. Let's talk about current circumstances in today's economy. We know inflation is nutso. We know that prices have increased substantially. And we know there has also been significant layoffs, most notably in the tech industry, over just the last few months. Now, interestingly enough, many of these companies have been talking about record-breaking profits. You know, they'll be on their earnings calls, they'll be talking about, you know, their overall revenue, quarterly profits, all that kind of stuff, whatever financial lingo you want to use. But one of the most common things that I'm hearing shared is this expression, record-breaking profits. I talked about Blizzard Entertainment, a really popular gaming video game entertainment company that this last year cut their profit-sharing program while also reporting to investors that they had made record-breaking profits. We're seeing similar conversations from a multitude of other tech companies, and it's really not just tech, by the way. We're seeing many companies doing very well on their overall performance while also decreasing wages and saying, "Hey, times are tough. The economy's tough. Like, we got to pull through." And it even actually reminds me of during COVID when there were businesses that were really struggling and they asked their employees to, if they'd be willing to withhold their paycheck or gift their paycheck back to the business. Yes, this actually happened. I was shared stories from listeners of the podcast. I was given headlines, companies that, "Hey, yeah, if you want to donate part of your paycheck back to the business, we'd really appreciate it." And, honestly, I think this stuff's pretty sick. I really dislike this kind of stuff. But rather than just keep ranting about this, let's talk about some actual hard facts. So it was reported earlier this week, the stagnating wages in the UK, and that since the 2007-2008 crisis, the global recession, the housing crisis, all that stuff, since then, wages in the UK have stayed about the same. Wages have stayed about the same in, it'd be 15 plus years now. There was a similar headline that talked about in the last 20 years, wages in Italy have actually decreased by 1%. So understand something here. If wages are about the same and the cost of everything is significantly more, what does that do to our society? What does that do to the average person? I think about home prices, for example. home prices, I mean, we sold our home, I guess about 2 years ago. We benefited from home prices skyrocketing. But home prices in the last, I think, 7-8 years have actually since 2012, so last decade, home prices have over doubled. I think the median home sale in 2012 was around $160,000. And today it's over $340,000. I need to pull a better stat on that, by the way. But the prices have over doubled. So if the cost to buy a home is over 2 times as much, in addition to the prices of groceries, the prices of just doing life, if prices have all increased and you're making the same amount of money, what does that do for you? What does that do for your family? This topic really upsets me. It upsets me because maybe, and you know what? Maybe this is the side of me that isn't a good business person. I don't know. Maybe I'm not cutthroat enough to make it in business long term. But it really upsets me to think about basic human dignity. Let me tell you this, actually. This is less a conversation about touchy-feely stuff. You know, I want everyone, you know, I just want everyone to have a great life. I do want that, by the way. But this is less about some non-grounded emotion. When I was a high school teacher, I was working in inner city Houston, 40 kids to a classroom, 40 high school kids to a classroom. It was a lot. Kids with some who had significant, or who were significantly behind. Think about an 11th or 12th grader who reads on a 7th grade level. I remember I had a junior, so 17 years old, or that's the typical age. It actually was pretty common. I had people older. I had 20-year-olds in my class when I was 22. So I had a student even from El Salvador, spoke perfect English. Dude did not know basic math. I was a science teacher, and I remember us getting together during lunchtime. And I remember getting on Amazon and buying those simple math flashcards, you know, that shows like 7 plus 6, stuff like that. And I remember getting together with this guy and just going through it, being like, okay, let's go through this together. And I wasn't a math teacher. I didn't know the best way to teach it. I was like, hey, this helped me when I was a kid. Let's do this with you. And, you know, as you would expect, he was really good at fives and tens, but like anything else, 9 plus 7, he was like, ooh, I have no idea. Now, excuse me. The problem with this is, I mean, the problems are pretty obvious. This person is set to have some challenges for the remainder of his professional career, just basic math, right? But there was a concept that we learned in teacher education when I was getting my teaching license. It's called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You can Google this. This is a very basic concept. And essentially, imagine a pyramid, and kind of like a food group pyramid. You can think of it that way. And at the bottom, and this is a representation of the things you need in life. What does an average person need? At the bottom are your basic essentials: food, shelter, and safety. At the top is your need for your work to matter, to create, to live out all your giftings and talents and how you were uniquely made. But to attain those things at the top, it's like a ladder. You need the things at the bottom. And the basic premise of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is that no one is living out their full giftings and skill sets if they're worried about what they're going to eat that day. So from an education standpoint, it was less about like policy and like, should we feed our kids or not? It was more about just recognizing those circumstances. that, hey, we're expecting these children to become these amazing scholars when many of them, I remember I had a student who school started at 7:30 maybe. School started at 7 a.m. This student would get off work at 4 in the morning, sleep for 2 hours, come to school, and effectively worked all night as a cook, as a line cook, because he was responsible for his family's rent. Like, he was the breadwinner. Have whatever opinion you have about that. That's just the circumstance. That's what this person's life is like. His name was Hector. That was Hector's life. Is it's on me to provide for my family. This is what I have to do. Hector isn't, he's not going to sit around reading books and, you know, thinking about his long-term plan or skill sets. He's thinking about putting food on the table and paying the bills. Now, you can probably resonate with this a little bit, because when you think about your own business, the times that you've had the space to create and try things and innovate, that has come out of the freedom of cash flow. When you're worried about paying your rent this month, or paying your people, or how you're going to make ends meet, is the business going to survive? You're not thinking about, how do I want to maybe innovate and roll out a different product or service? What do I want to create next month? You're not thinking about that. You're thinking about, who do I need to call to make the next sale? You know, how do I make this happen? In many cases, you're stressed. You're trying to keep the business afloat. So you've likely lived out this concept in some shape or form. So here's the problem. I mentioned that this isn't just like a touchy-feely, like, I have an issue with this, which I do. The problem with this is understanding what this implies for our society in general. How can we expect our economy and our society to make meaningful advancements in the future if the majority of people are struggling to make ends meet? Now, understand also how this narrative has been twisted and shifted and, you know, taking responsibility off of the corporations at the top and instead shifting it on, like, here's the deal. I'm a millennial. You want to know a people group? Is people group, is that the right way to put it? You want to know an age group that has been, you know, bludgeoned about avocado toast? Give me a break. Now, is there an insight about saving and spending habits? And absolutely. We're not talking against that. But all this conversation about, you know, try eating less avocado toast. It cost me $1.50 to have avocado toast. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty inexpensive breakfast. It's pretty inexpensive. But instead of making the narrative around, you know, what's going on with wages? What's happening with wages? And here's also, this is another reason why I don't get into politics, is like, we can't have these conversations without there being so much affiliated mess with it. Oh, you're just trying to do this, or you mean that? And it's like, no, I don't mean, I'm not ascribing to any ideology. I'm just saying, or any political affiliation. I'm just saying that I think there's a problem if most of Americans can't afford a place to live. That's ultimately what it is. I had a guy call me one time. Maybe it was an email, or I can't remember what it was. Years ago, though, this was like maybe 2018, maybe 2019. This guy had made so much money in his business that he was thinking about what to do with his employees. And he had enough. I think he had 4 or 5 employees. He had enough surplus. I think he had around like 50K surplus. And we were talking and he was trying to think of a good idea to like reward the employees, like a bonus effectively. And he was like, can I just like split up the 50K and give them all 10K each? And I laughed and was like, yeah. And he was like, am I like allowed to do that? Like, am I supposed to do that? Like, it was so like such an obvious thing was so like, surely we can't do this, right? Because the norm is not that kind of thing. The norm is, oh, no, you don't want to overpay your people. You want to give them a 1% to 3% bonus. Give them a 1% to 3% bonus. Or one of my personal deepest dislikes is the dangling of the carrot of certain incentives that the manager knows they'll never achieve, they'll never accomplish. Good example of this would be the company that does like a 1 to 5 review system. And if you get a five five out of five, you get like a 7 or 8% raise. And then the manager says after the fact, well, we don't give anybody fives because fives means you're perfect. So no one gets fives. Well, then it's a disingenuous system. You're falsely trying to motivate people financially for a system that they will never reap the benefit of. It's frankly kind of scummy. That's actually not kind of scummy. It is scummy. It's lying. You're being disingenuous with your employees. At the end of the day, that just is what it is. I had an episode that I put out a long time ago that was something like, don't feel guilty for asking for more money. And understand something. I don't think money is the answer. This isn't a podcast about, hey, be as rich as you can, make as much money as you can. You know, if that was the message, I'd have some pretty slimy ways that I'd be making money myself. It's not about the money. Okay. It's about understanding that if you want your people to perform their best, they need an honest, fair wage. And today's definition of fair wage, just so you can know, is often much less than what is actually a fair wage. If you're paying $12 an hour and you're patting yourself on the back because 10 years ago you paid $7, that's not a fair wage. That's you stroking your own ego. Okay? Today's world, I mean, I remember when I hired my first employee with Good Advice, I think I paid her $27.50, and this was 3 years ago, $27.50. I think there was potential for $30 an hour, significantly more. I mean, I had a lot of job applicants too. I had 200 job applicants because I posted the wage transparently. I said, this is what I'm willing to pay. It's part-time. It's this many hours a week. I think it was 10 to 15 hours a week. Apply if you're interested. I got over 200 applicants because it was a fair wage for the work that I was asking for. More often than not, the way businesses approach pay is it is one of many costs. It's the overhead of running a business. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have some kind of financial sense with your business. You know, where you pay people to the point where there is no business. We're talking honest and fair. And paying according to the outputs that you're expecting someone to do for you. And holding them accountable to that as well. That's all fine. There's nothing wrong with any of that. You should be doing that. I'm just personally very tired of the headline, record-breaking profits, and pairing that with cutting pay, reducing incentive programs, reducing bonuses, rising costs, rising home costs, cost of living, inflation, and how disgustingly detached a lot of people are. Some very wealthy people are. I saw a CEO who posted, actually, no, it wasn't a CEO. It was a major news organization who said, millennials are, millennials and Gen Zers are struggling to save because they're spending money on groceries. And like the implication was, again, it's the whole avocado toast thing. The implication was that, you know, we're young, we're wasteful, we don't know how to deal with our finances. But if you think about that sentence, we're wasting money on survival. We're wasting money on food to eat. Really? And part of this, it's the whole log in your own eye thing. Like I have worked with companies in the past that have taken me out to dinner and the tab has been $6,000. So I really don't have patience. I mean, I've been on private jets that were $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. I have a friend of mine who, for his business, they fly him all over the place. They fly him first class. The flights are $20,000. So understand that my bias is I read headlines about the average American not being financially studious enough, not being financially disciplined enough. And yet I am seeing deep wastefulness. Wasteful, maybe that's too harsh a word. I'm seeing corporations spending an enormous amount of money otherwise that the average person would not ever spend. The wage gap in our country is a crisis. It's a crisis. And understand something. I have no problem with a business owner getting paid very well for the business they've built. Often they are the one who has bared the brunt of the risk and the responsibility and the sleepless nights. That's fine. I have a problem with how do I keep my cost as cheap as possible? Therefore, I pay as little as I can. Excuse me. It's a crisis. It is a crisis in our economy today that we don't pay people what we should pay people. And again, if you're listening to this and you pay an honest wage, you pay a fair wage, this isn't for you. This isn't, you know, if the average in your industry is $20 an hour and you pay $25, you're already helping. The message isn't, how dare you pay $25, you should pay $50, and you have no way to keep the lights on because you pay such an inexorbitant amount. You know, we're not talking ditch to ditch. We're talking about why so many people are seeing the value in running their own business, because they're recognizing, I get to be in control. Another example of this, think of how many times somebody switches careers and they get paid substantially more. Think about how many stories that either you've experienced or someone you know, where they tell the story about they work somewhere for 10 years and they get their little raises, they get their little bonuses, and they work somewhere for 10 years. And then they realize that somebody new who just joined the company is making more money than them. Think about the person who works for a place for a decade, and then they finally court another company, and that company offers $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 more. I had a friend of mine who's a computer programmer who he asked for a raise and it didn't happen. So he decided to leave. And in this conversation of leaving, they basically asked, what number is it going to take to stay? And he said, this is how much I need. And they said, we don't have that in the budget. We can't do that. Well, another company then said, yeah, we can do that. We want you. And offered him that amount, maybe even more. And so he put in his 2 weeks notice and said, yeah, I'm leaving. This company offered me this much. Well, you know what happened? The company then said, hey, we can match that. We want you to stay. So did he stay? Would you stay? Would you stay if the company that told you they don't have it in their budget, and then you put in your 2 weeks notice, and they suddenly say, oh, hang on, we can match that. Would you stay there? This guy didn't, because he was so offended at, how can you tell me that we don't have it in the budget, and then now that I'm leaving, you suddenly do? Something isn't honest about that. Understand that this is how businesses operate. Businesses operate to increase their own value while exchanging a good or service for your dollar. Nothing immoral about that. That is just is what it is. And in doing so, even the most well-meaning businesses they are looking to increase their own value. Again, nothing wrong with that. So understand something, that your financial prosperity is not part of that business's mission statement. Or rather, I should say, it is only part of a rare few. I think of St. John's Properties. I covered them back in 2017, maybe 2018, real estate company. They did extremely well and they paid out their employees significant bonuses. Some people got $50,000 bonuses. It's the exception, not the norm. That's a company that understands the value of its people. You can know that's a company that's not going to be losing people quickly. So where do we go from here? If you're listening and you're thinking about starting your own business, you can know it's the hardest thing you will ever do. It is the hardest thing you will ever do. But at least you'll be in control of your finances. At least you'll be in control of your future. And if you're running a business and you're managing people, do right by your people. Do right by your people and pause to make sure that your approach to pay is not a cultural thing, but that it is a right thing. I say cultural thing because lower wages, you can know it's partly an American thing. It is partly an American thing. You go to Germany, Germany pays very well. I had a friend of mine, I talked about this company out of Germany. It's existed for over 100 years. And the founder of the company, his whole motto was, I have done extremely well. I've become wealthy, not because I pay my people so little, but because I pay them so much. And that's the concept. When you pay your people well, they're happier, they're engaged, they'll continue to work with you, they'll give more than you could ever ask for. It's the right way to do business. I'm telling you, it's the right way to do business. And I think we need to be able to have this conversation more. I roll my eyes at all of the headlines that are designed to disassociate well-being with finances. I get annoyed at so many headlines that are designed to remove blame from business owners who are continuing these wages versus people, you know, it's the stop eating avocado toast thing. Or I saw a video yesterday. This person was like a TED talk or something. And the whole video, I mean, my eyes rolled to the back of my head. The whole video was, your employees don't want $5,000 more. What they really want is what you as a good boss need to get to the bottom of. Is it, you know, if an employee comes and asks for $5,000 more, ask them why. Ask them what they want to use it for. Okay, they want to use it to, and here's how the story went. You know, the employee says, well, I want to take my family on vacation. I'm going to go to Disney World, or I'm going to go do this. So really, it's not the $5,000 that they want. It's more time with the family. That's what they really care about. So give them more time off. And I don't necessarily fault this person. I kind of get it. It's like, hey, you're being an active leader. You're tuning in and honing in on what your people care about. But I couldn't help just kind of sigh and be like, you know, I mean, can't we just do both? Can't we just financially take care of our people and give them the quality of life that we want them to have? Again, thinking back to that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if we want people to be their best form of themselves, we need to help take care of their basic needs. That's all, really all it is. It's not charity. It's about honest, fair wages according to what someone does for our business. Let's stop doing these tired narratives. They don't really want more money. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. For most of your employees, they just want more money. And it's not anything immoral or wrong about that. I want to make more money. I do. It's not because I'm money grubbing, selfish, greedy, or what have you. It's because I know all the doors that open as my financial constraints become looser. I know the more people I can bless, the more things that I can do, the opportunities that I can use to help people, all of that comes with more financial well-being. So if you work for someone who's putting you on that 1% increase every year, you might think of another job. See what else is out there, how someone else might pay you more. If you manage people, pay them well. Pay them what is honest and fair. And it will do better for your business. Do I think this episode is going to make a worldwide difference? No. But I hope for the few of you listening that it causes you to hone in on the dignity of your people, to do the right thing, and treat them well. Hey, that's today's episode today. I always feel like I need to apologize whenever we have an episode like this, just because I'm telling you, I will hear nothing about the podcast for weeks. And then I put an episode like this and I have people who text me or email and, you know, anyway, I love that you're all so engaged though. All that to say, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me share my take on this kind of stuff. And I'm open to what you think as well. So back next week with a new episode. Don't forget, if you want to advertise on the show, you can always reach out Blake at goodadvicecoaching.com. Don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/goodadvice. And if you're loving the podcast, don't forget, you can always leave us a review. Thank you guys so much. That's today's good advice. We'll catch you later. See ya.